Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups.
Thank you so much for joining me, Evie and Megan. It's a pleasure to have you here. I'd love to start off by getting you both to tell us who you both are and your background in PR and a little bit about your podcast, Pitch Please, which I love the name of, by the way.
Amazing. I'll kick it off and then hand it over to Megan. So I'm Evie Smith Hatmaker. I'm the founder and CEO of Rebellious PR. I spent about a decade working in Silicon Valley, started in 2007 and was just really there during, the kind of what I think was like one of the most exciting times in the Valley. You know, smartphones were just really starting to be a thing, and worked on some really cool startups. Social networking was, there was so many social networks previously. And then moved up to Portland about 5 years ago, worked at an agency here that was located on the East Coast, and it was horrible. And it really inspired me to start this company.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for that. I am Megan Jones, and I serve as account director and social media manager for Rebellious. My stint in PR has only actually been my experience with Rebellious. My background comes from over a decade in communications and marketing in sort of the arts and entertainment world. And I had spent about 8 years with my last company and felt I had climbed the highest I could possibly climb on the ladders that they had provided, and was just sort of looking for a change. And I didn't actually realize that PR was what I was meant to do. I had no idea that sort of all of my strengths and sort of my, ability to just talk to people and storytell was like a job. So very thankful to have come across Rebellious. And, when I started working with Evie, previously there had been a Rebellious podcast, and she was looking to sort of revive that. I myself produce podcasts outside of Rebellious. And so I thought, man, that's a perfect marriage of the two things that I love. I get to do what I love at my job. And thus, Pitch Please was born. It's really, it's just an excellent podcast for, professionals, public relations professionals that are looking to sort of get a behind the scenes look into, really what a boutique agency is like. We talk advice, we, talk about how to like circumnavigate certain things within the PR and the marketing world. But really talking a lot about entrepreneurship. We work with a lot of early age startups. So talking about just like how to communicate and sort of like shape those relationships. So it's been a really fun ride.
Awesome. I'm very glad to hear that you're both very happy there. And I'm looking forward to hearing and understanding more about the company culture there, just because I know that you are both on here today to talk about why you believe agency culture is broken for the most part. And would you be able to explain what you mean by this? Perhaps Evie, if you could kick off, and then Megan, if you want to contribute.
Yeah, totally. I think that it's really like an inward outward problem with agencies. I think that there's this, externally there's this, age old thing where it's like the client is always right. Well, the client's not always right. And I think right now, especially in 2020, what we're seeing is like the client needs to have a real person that they trust to tell them what's going on. And so I think, jump how high mentality can really prevent good work, and it can really make whoever the account manager is crazy, especially if management is like, do whatever the client wants, even if it's wrong. And you're like, am I getting gaslit? Am I crazy? And then, you know, you pile that on with, you know, what I think internally is the real issue, where it's just like culture at agencies is for the most part broken. There's, you know, one, I feel like it's so competitive where you're constantly competing to, you know, best your coworkers. There's always some sort of weird politics. I feel like agencies typically really overwork their employees. They really take good talent and try to wring out every drop from them. And, you know, there's, I'm sure everybody on this call has been in, you know, in a meeting with a manager where it's like, you know, you're kind of expected not to have a life outside of the agency, which I think is not possible. And then I do feel like within these environments that bad actors have a tendency to hide and thrive. You know, people who, you know, we try to stay away from using terms like mean girls because we think it kind of belittles it and it's a little sexist, but it's, you know, there's just kind of being a dick kind of like gets you ahead. And so it's just overall, it's like externally, the client is making your life miserable. Internally, you're sort of suffering and don't really feel like you have a team. Maybe you have like a work wife or something like that. But it just overall, it just kind of creates like a broken system start to finish. And just the culture should be the easiest part and should be the most important part.
Yeah, I mean, definitely all aboard all of those things. I would echo that. And you know, I think really not being able to empower your staff to sort of do what they do best is another sort of reason why, you know, it's broken and these sort of same issues continue to like permeate the PR world. I don't think, you know, I couldn't have said it any better, Evie. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I think you summed it up perfectly well, I have to say as well. And I have a lot of respect for the account managers that I know and work with, because it's exactly like you said, where it seems that there are so many misconceptions about PR that people enter PR with when they don't really have a history or background in it. And that can make that situation of the customer's always right very dangerous, because they're so far from being right and the account manager is the one trying to explain some like, no, we can't be promotional in this, or no, we can't do this. And it can be a perfect breeding ground for some real conflict there.
In my mind it's like, obviously people see PR as marketing, and it definitely is a slice of the marketing pie, as we say, but it's definitely something in and of itself. It's a lot of people, you're right, do not understand what PR is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it's fantastic you're making a better culture for work, because even though this seems to be something which, yeah, is an issue within PR, yeah, I think just generally in most work cultures, there's always office politics and there's always the potential for it to be an insidious environment when it is hyper competitive or very driven by results or the bottom line. And I think that the approach you've taken here is very noble and very forward thinking. But I also, and another thing that I thought was quite interesting, is that I saw on the email signatures of the account manager that I was speaking with, it says his or him. So just so I have this correct, is that your approach to, is it, I mean, I'm not involved, I don't live in the US, I live in Colombia, and politics here and like what is politically correct and isn't politically correct is way, way behind like where somewhere like Oregon is. So I'm not entirely as up to date with like the forward thinking processes, even though I am from a city which I would argue is basically like the UK version of Portland. So I completely understand and vibe with the culture that you have there. But correct me if I'm wrong, that's the pronouns which they choose. And I suppose that the pronoun that the employee chooses puts that on their signature. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a queer person, queer identified person. And, you know, I think, and actually, you know, fun fact, like Rebellious's second and third employees were actually trans employees, trans identified employees. And really the, you know, putting your pronouns and email signatures is just a way to super normalize talking about pronouns. And so for us, that was sort of a no-brainer. But, you know, we do it and then we've started to see clients ask us about it and then clients will start doing it. And it's just really a way to start talking about gender identities in a super normal way at work.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really smart move. It's a very forward thinking move as well. And I have to say, it's funny because like here at Publicize, we're also a very international team. So we have people from all over the world and we have a collective mix of like everyone in our office. And I'm very pleased to say that I feel we're a very inclusive company. However, obviously being based in Colombia, it's kind of hard to kind of measure it around the surroundings, given the sense that like, and this is an example, I know in the US, when it comes to Latin culture, there's like Latinx where they replace instead of like chicos, you say like chiques, or to avoid the use of, I suppose, collectively it always being male. Whereas here, that's a kind of bizarre conversation to have because that's a kind of thing that's come from the US or it's certainly North America. And it's kind of hard to say, and this is completely off topic, it's kind of hard to say like, oh, this is how you should be using your language so that it's not, I suppose, sexist. And it's hard when you're not a native speaker and you're a foreigner and you're like trying to, I suppose, have this conversation with people who are native in that language. That's completely unrelated to everything. But at the same time, it's a really bizarre thing for me that I just had to share.
Yeah, no. And I mean, invite us back if you ever want to talk about, you know, queerness and PR. We are your girls.
Awesome. I mean, on that topic, I would love to understand, like, how can the modern PR industry be more inclusive, in your opinion?
I mean, PR has a problem as far as I'm concerned. You know, most agencies that I worked at were very white, very femme, female, but femme too. And I felt like that was sort of the winning cookie cutter personality. And if you were anything but that, you felt like an outsider. And, you know, I am a queer identified, straight cis woman, and I am very femme. But even still, like, I did get othered a lot. And I was like, yo, like if I'm getting othered and I'm like barely an other, what is it like for people of color? What is it like for people with totally different identities? And it just felt like one, it was a missed opportunity. And two, there's just like so much research out there about, you know, if everybody at the table looks the same, went to the same kind of school, had the same kind of life, same kind of experience, the ideas just aren't as rich. And there's actually more profits in having, more kinds of people with different kinds of experiences and backgrounds at the table. So to me, I mean, it's just, you know, my business brain is like, yes, let's do that. But also because I never wanted to work in an agency where I was made to feel less than ever again. And so I wanted to create an agency where essentially we all have completely different identities. And that's what I think is really the magic of what we've done.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that, you know, drew me to Rebellious. I take part in the hiring process of who we sort of bring onto the team. And I think for me, you know, at the very core, PR, public relations is storytelling. And, you know, especially right now, there is a real need and a want for storytelling. And you can't very well do that if you're kind of all telling the same story. You know what I mean? You're all cut from the same cloth. So, you know, we want to be able to see things through many different lenses. You can't have, you know, true innovation if you aren't willing to sort of like step outside of the box, get out of your bubble, if you will. And I think that ties back into, you know, again, sort of this bit we were talking about being overworked and not having a life outside of your job. Whereas like we very much encourage that because that also makes you a great storyteller. Your experiences outside of, you know, just answering emails and talking to journalists, you know. So I think that there's, you know, something to be said about that as well.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo. I also think that whenever I see bad PR or some kind of PR that goes terrible or anything really, like I remember H&M had that terrible campaign, advertising campaign with the coolest monkey in the jungle. Like, yes. I think to myself, like, how did that go through so many people and no one picked up on it? And then you just have to assume that, like, it really wasn't a collective mix of people. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, somebody would have said, hey, we should not be doing this, or that this isn't a good idea. So yeah. I think you're kind of like, it's like, not only is it the right thing to do morally, it's mm-hmm. also the smart thing to do, just to have that mix of opinions so that everyone can say what, I suppose everyone can like add their piece if there is something that everyone else is missing.
Totally. Yeah. And something that Evie talks a lot about and sort of what I think is fundamental is like cultural competency. So, you know, I think that from the jump, she was very clear about that to me when coming onto the agency. And I think that that's something that, you know, we try to embody ourselves every day. And there are multiple different layers throughout the organization in which we, you know, try to drive awareness, try to, you know, provide tools and resources and knowledge to our employees to make them more culturally competent and aware.
Yeah. No, I think that's very necessary and very smart. Mm. So moving on from inclusivity, I'd love to talk more about the competitive nature of the PR industry, because you said that it makes people more susceptible to burnout. And that's mm-hmm. obviously very true for when any kind of industry is very competitive. But why do you feel this is a significant issue within the PR industry?
I mean, I think that going to work should be the most frictionless part of doing your job as a publicist. I think that, imagine a life where, you know, you have the support of your managers to push back on a client, or, you know, you don't have any frenemies at the office and there's no weird politics to contend with, and you could just do your job. And that is like, was always my dream and always what I wanted to create, and kind of did create that for other people when I like ran other people's agencies. But yeah, that's really like, that's really important to me, because it's just doing publicity and just doing PR, especially during 2020, what a year. It's so hard, and it eats your soul, and it's never been as hard and as important and as sensitive as it is right now. And there's just no way that a publicist can do what they're doing and have to contend with a tenacious office culture. It's just not fair. It's like, why put yourself through that? I mean, I feel like anybody who works in PR is like a little bit of a masochist, but it's like, I think that there's really limits. I found that I would get more burned out on office politics and those little nuances and getting gaslit by managers than the actual work. Like, the work to me at one point was the easiest part of the job. And I just felt like, this is broken. I want to build something better.
Yeah, I honestly am just having like visions of, you know, Hollywood publicists, what they paint on television, or Olivia Pope, or like, you know, all of these things that people are sort of, again, kind of how we said at the top, is they don't really understand, you know, what PR is. But for me, having sort of, and being an outsider, having no like, you know, true large agency, or being like in-house anywhere, having no other experience, I've only heard horror stories. And, you know, I think it was something interesting. We were having a discussion about like job titles, you know, just in building out the infrastructure of Rebellious and what that looks like as far as growth within the company. And, you know, I got to Googling, you know, like, okay, account associate, great. And then I'm like, oh, it's like junior account associate, account this, junior account this.
Everybody's like, an executive.
I was like, I'm sorry. I don't understand. And that's gotta, like, that's really gotta throw somebody for a loop where there's just these like tiny little nuances and you're only allowed to work within the scope of like that position, you know, where, you know, I feel here is like, you know, yes, I am an account director, but like at the end of the day, you know, I'm here for the team. So, you know, if I've got to build a press list, then that's, you know, what I need to do. But I digress.
Yeah. We all take out the trash at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's very smart. And I think that someone being more than just their label is very mm-hmm. important, because at the end of the day, I think your team is there to score goals. Well, I'm talking mm-hmm. from a soccer perspective here.
But, I'm a big soccer fan. I'm with you.
Awesome. So it doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter who's scoring them, just as long as they're being scored and everyone's playing their role. So yeah. I think that like that's the main idea behind it. And that perfectly leads on to the final point that I really wanted to make. Because I understand that Rebellious PR has based its work mentality around that of a team sports model. Mm-hmm. So would you be able to explain like how this works at Rebellious PR?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say I've played sports for a lot of my life, adult life, and coached as well. And I just feel like, you know, when we think about Rebellious and the work that we do, it's really, I think of it, it's funny because you're talking about soccer. I always visualize it a little bit more like basketball, but it's like whether you're, you know, the oldest player on the team and, you know, like you're, you know, the point guard, you can always kind of depend on, or you're like, you know, the rookie of the year. It's like, we're all in the game together. And that's really when our organization becomes like a flat organization. You know, like we definitely do have agency hierarchies and managers and management teams and like all the things you need for the operations and to train people and to mentor people. But when we are like out there playing the game, like everybody's role is super, super important. And, you know, I think we do a really good job of explaining that. It's like the person making the press list and gathering the coverage is just as important as the person who is specializing in client satisfaction. So, yeah, Megan, I don't know if you have any nuance to add to that.
You know, not really. I as somebody who serves, you know, as an account director and manages, you know, a number of employees, I think that, you know, it would be a disservice to myself and to our clients and to the organization as a whole if, you know, I didn't sort of like let my little stars shine, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think ultimately, you know, it's a matter of ego. I think that there's a lot of ego in public relations. And so if I can manage to like take myself out of that and realize it's sort of like the betterment of everybody, that I'm going to get the best work possible, mm-hmm. Then that for me is a win.
Yeah. I also think it's like the other thing that's team sportsies is like, we really encourage like mentorship at all levels. So it's like, you know, I learn things from like our Gen Z employees all the time. We always have time and space for everybody's ideas. And it's like, it is sort of like sports where it's like, okay, you know, I'm thinking of like when Kobe Bryant came on the scene, RIP, you know, he probably showed, you know, some vet on his team, like a 3-pointer tip, you know, it's like, there's something to be learned from somebody who's new. There's something to be learned, somebody who's been there for a while. And I think that we all are like just super collaborative with hearing each other out, making space for ideas, and just really creating an even playing field.
Yeah. And I think that in some cases or in some companies or corporate environments, maybe a more kind of individualistic sport like UFC might be more applicable for like the Wolf of Wall Street, like where, yeah, you've got to make sales. It's on you, like get those sales in. But for something like a PR company, yeah, I think like a basketball mentality is definitely more correct, where it's like, it's a team. You're all there to just get slam dunks or whatever it is.
do a layup. Yeah, I don't know.
And alley-oop? I don't know. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Megan, Evie, those are all my questions. Thank you so much for joining me today. If people do want to know more about the work you're doing or keep up with your podcast, are there social media channels they can follow you on, and how can they listen to the podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah. everything does live at rebelliouspr.com. You can follow all our socials at rebelliouspr. And yeah, our podcast, Pitch Please, we're starting up the second season of recording. We're very excited about it. So yeah, you can hit up the website, follow us on Instagram for all the updates.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today,
folks. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Sam.